This is SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, you'll find it here. It's Insight Applied. And now, here's Brad and Scully.
Hello, school marketers, and welcome to SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, we'll talk about it here. I'm Brad Entwistle, and this is episode 115 for Wednesday, September 20, 2017. Scully, how are you, my friend?
I am in much better shape than you, brother.
Don't make me laugh.
I've had a big night on the tiles, or we need to be buying you, spending all the entire SMC budget on throat lozenges for you.
I wish it was a night on the tiles, because then I could have something good to blame it on. But more importantly, today, as listeners listen to this, it's Wednesday. But we record this on Tuesday afternoon, which officially makes it still September the 19th, of course, which is, as you know, the International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Now, as any good pirate would do, I went to the internet and looked up our pirate names. So I've got one name. So I'm Pirate Sam the Cash Strapped.
Yeah, you can't even buy your throat lozenges.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Andrew is Insane Roger Dagger. Or Scully is Captain Morris Knife Nose.
Yeah, like it. Pieces of eight. Where's my flagon of rum?
Don't know about the rum, but I've got my Pepsi cracked in here and keeping me going. So Captain Morris Knife Nose. I like that. That's going to stick with you for a while, that one.
Knife nose. I have got a big nose, actually. That will stick.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And before we get too stupid, we'll talk about things of consequence in news that you can use. And this very first one, it's a very highfalutin article for us, Scully. Australia is ill-equipped to capitalise on the innovation economy, according to Daniel Petrie, who is very big in investing in these things, formerly of Microsoft, I believe. I won't go into the article other than basically we're saying we're not at the cutting edge of a lot of these things, Scully, and the innovation side. So why did this get a Guernsey, or is it just because it's International Talk Like a Pirate Day?
He's challenging us. He's challenging you. He's basically saying we're a bunch of pirates here in Australia.
That is a long bow to draw. You had to try hard for that one.
It's a big cutlass to draw. Because we are, and I'm talking about the entire corporate world here, he's describing us as C plus to B minus at best in the adoption of technology. Now, I've got to admit,
when I read that, that hurt a little bit.
Yeah, it's shocking. And you know what? I actually can well believe it. But I think education, of all the things that that Australia does well, education is one of them. It's a multi-billion dollar, of course, industry in itself. And my challenge, I lay down the gauntlet. No, that's knights in armor, not pirates. I challenge anyone to not walk the plank, but to step up and just view this as an opportunity to remain at the cutting edge of education. And part of that is to get your marketing right. And you can do so much more by really looking at the innovation that's going on, not being terrified by marketing automation, but by embracing it where appropriate, not just willy-nilly for the sake of it. But I really think education industry, marketers in particular, you can blaze the trail, lead the way, because it looks like the rest of the corporate world here, or rest of corporate Australia, is letting us down.
And so that's Scully drawing a line in the sand. Did you see what I did there?
No, it's supposed to be an X in the sun. That's where the treasure's been.
See, I can't even get that one right. Now to news item number two. Much more practical on a day-to-day basis, how Facebook could force brands, and that's you and me, to pivot to video. A couple of things on this first, Scully. Before we get into the deep content, I'm so over the word pivot.
Oh, what is this? I'm with you. So forgetting the word.
It's like they've, anytime you're failing at something, it's an opportunity to pivot. And all of these businesses are pivoting, and they're pivoting to video.
Yeah, well, I know. Really, I ask you with tears in my eyes, what is that about? But the misappropriation of a perfectly good word, but really good point. You know, we can pontificate, we can crystal ball gaze, we can get all sorts of things, but there is a track record that Facebook drives technological take up because
the word you're looking for is Facebook drives everything.
Well, yes. Well, exactly. Now, whether it's right or wrong, when Facebook makes a decision or whether how they're doing what they do drives behavior because things work more effectively, then pay attention. And without a shadow of a doubt, video, whilst we can all understand how hard it can work and how it can bring a story, certainly in school marketing, a story to life, the powers that be at Facebook have clearly made the decision that it drives better results for them. Therefore, they're going to encourage it all the more. And so a lot of people are very slow to adopt and adapt. My challenge, absolutely really imperative, is get your head around video, use video in your marketing. Some of it can be super schmicko, fantastic whiz-bang video. And some of it is just telling a very basic story. It doesn't need to be high-budget stuff, but it's going to work harder. There's some extraordinary statistics, 20% drops in Facebook posts or engagement on Facebook posts with brands, this is.
That's just since January. Yeah. So since January, the average number of engagements on Facebook posts from brands, and you can consider your school a brand in this context, from brands and publishers dropped more than 20%. That's astounding. And then during that same period, the engagement on video posts from brands held pretty steady. Engagement on posts with images and links fell significantly. End result, average video posts now receive twice as much engagement as other posts. That set of statistics comes from BuzzSumo's director, Steve Rayson, and he made the point we should all be paying attention to those statistics, and it's astounding, but there's big implications for schools. I mean, video is hard to do. Almost anybody, we can sit down and we talk about, you know, banging out a blog. That's because that's what we do. We sit down and you think about it and you write it, and almost anybody can write. Video is still something that most people don't feel comfortable in making, certainly in editing, and certainly the technical requirements to get it online.
That's right. I mean, look, there's a great quote. I love this. I don't know how reliable a source is. In 2016, a Facebook VP, no name, said
you're descending into tabloid media here.
Said she believed the network will be all video in the next few years, arguing it conveys so much more information in a much quicker period. Now, who knows who that is? I don't agree that everything will be video, far from it. I don't suggest you throw out the baby with the bathwater with the other content you're creating, but certainly the written word is super powerful. But if you can just embrace video and get good at it as part of it, then you'll be ahead of the crowd.
Well, conclusion of this article from, how do you say Jordan's surname? Jordan Treicher?
If he's German, it's Treicher. If he's American, it's teacher. I have no idea.
Jordan wrote this nice article, but the bottom line is organizations that can figure out how to create standout videos will thrive, but everybody else will just have to wait for the next pivot, whatever that might be. Now, I don't think schools should wait for the next pivot, Scully. I think that schools, you've got messages that are tailor-made for telling in video. So don't see this as a negative. See it as a positive. Use the Facebook has just lined up with you for all of us. Take it while it's going, because you never know when they're going to turn around and go in a different direction. So what do you say to that, Captain Knife Nose?
Arr, pivot away.
Oh, dear. News item number 3, still on the topic of making visual content, David Spark, who is the founder of a B2B content marketing firm, Spark Media Solutions, says avoid these 7 classic on-camera interview mistakes. Now, I've got to say, this one struck a chord with me. I do quite a lot of interviews for video where I'm not on the video, thank goodness, but I'm the guy off-camera doing the interviewing. Now, I've been interviewing for probably 30 years. That's scary. That's really scary. I've been quite a while, I've been interviewing, and he's really hit the nail on the head. So starting off, he says, not slating the video clip at the beginning of the interview. And slating is just essentially asking the person that you're interviewing to tell you their name, where they're from, and what the context is. Because, why, you're not the only person that's going to look at this video. In the good old days, it used to be label the tape. You know, these days when things are digital and can get moved around, you haven't got a label to put on the tape. So you slate the video, you get the person to interview what it's about. Number two is not taking notes to create a shot list. Have I been guilty of this one?
Tell us more.
Well, I can remember. I was with you one day. We were out at a client school. We'd shot a short video for them while you were doing some other things. We're in a bit of a rush, got in the car, camera almost thrown into the boot, and off we went. And about 15 minutes later, down the main highway, still on time for the next appointment, mind you, I thought, I haven't got any B-roll, the shots that you use for cutaways, shots of the entrance, shot of the reception, shot of the principal walking through the school. So at the end of the day, it took another trip out to the client to actually shoot just the B-roll, which effectively became 5 seconds out of the whole production, but you had to have it. So think about it while you're doing it. If you've got notes and you're making notes while you're interviewing, write down single words as your interviewee is talking that are going to prompt you. It could be they just say, oh, the Early Years Center is wonderful or something like that. You need a shot of the Early Years Center to drop in there.
Next one is something unfortunately dear to my heart, not knowing your equipment. As nothing screams, this is not going to turn out well, more than when an interviewer is fumbling with their equipment or just struggling to find the right switch or demonstrating lack of confidence or hoping someone's going to come to the rescue and say, oh, you press this. So know how to set it up to turn on your equipment quickly.
I've got to say, I'm relatively comfortable around tech. I mean, I'm the geek, but every time when you're sitting in front of somebody who is looking at you thinking, you're about to interview me, all of a sudden things start to go blank in your mind about, oh, is this the setting I use or is that the setting I use? Give yourself 10 minutes to preset your camera, whatever you're doing. Check your equipment. Make sure that the microphone works, that sort of stuff. It'll save you so much stress.
Yeah, and the next one is also, it's all about preparation, really. In this case, not going deep enough. Interviewees sometimes like to give short answers, particularly when you're dealing with students who aren't always as cooperative as you might like.
Monosyllabic grunts from 14-year-old boys. Exactly. I don't believe it.
Yeah, and or non-descriptive answers. And they think it's clever, but it makes a really sort of excruciatingly horrible video. So keep asking why and get them to explain themselves. Otherwise, it can be really painful. So yes, be prepared, but also be prepared to ad lib and actually listen to those questions.
Well, my little rule in my head is always be asking why and how. Don't be asking what. But another great tip is just to ask the person that you're interviewing, essentially to incorporate your question back into the answer. So the question could be, why are you enthusiastic about these new course options? And the answer would be, I'm enthusiastic about these new course options because A, B, and C. Now, Scully, do you think we should send questions through to our victims, sorry, the talent for the interview? Do you think we should be sending questions through beforehand? This is actually people come either side of the fence on this one.
I think it's that much more real and more passionate when you don't, because people can really express themselves. But I've never worked with a principal, for example, that would even consider that, because they like, and good on them, I understand why, they want to be prepared. They like to have it, if not scripted on paper, certainly to have a response prepared in their minds. This article is suggesting you don't, so that otherwise it can come across as too rehearsed. This is the only one out of all the points that in the real world, it's sometimes hard to get someone to be interviewed. And I would perhaps give them a sneak preview of suggested ideas rather than a script. That might be the better way to do it.
Should I reveal my secret weapon?
Don't tell me it's a blunderbuss pirate cannon. No?
It's a long walk off a short plank. No, it's when you get asked for, can you send me the questions, feel free to say, no, I can't. However, what I will do is send you through the themes. So they've got an idea of essentially where you'll be going with the interview and what you want to talk about, but they won't have the specific questions. Because when you do provide the specific questions, the problem is that they're likely to have rehearsed it so well. And I've even done interviews where the talent comes and quite literally there's no paper in front of them, but they're reading it. They're reading it in their brain and it sounds like it. So try and avoid that just by not giving questions. Number six there is forgetting to let the interviewee set up the soundbite. And that's sort of what we were talking about before, Scully, with getting the interviewee to actually repeat that question back to you. So if the question's what's your favourite colour, don't let them just go green. The answer is my favourite colour is green. And the last one, this applies to every interviewer, whether it's the first interview you've ever done or you are interviewing for your career on the 7:30 report on ABC TV every night. And that is leaning on your list of questions rather than actively listening. Now, Scully, I don't know how many times I've seen it in political reporting. You've got somebody who's under pressure and the interviewer is trying to nail them, and the politician just gets out of it by keep talking, mouthing an answer, and they actually drop themselves right in it. But the interviewer was thinking of the next question rather than listening, and they just slip right on past rather than getting that killer second or follow-up question in. It happens to the pros, and it can happen to us, probably even more. So it's really just thinking about it, listening as they're talking. The reality is this is video, so it's pre-recorded. It's going to be edited. Don't worry about how much gaps or air there are. Listen until the person's finished talking. Then think about your next question.
Totally. This goes beyond the camera. In your role in school marketing, listen. Two ears, one mouth, use them in that proportion because, you know, that's the be the wise question. That's the demonstrates you're listening, and that brings an interview to life so much more because it's real. But you have to be able to actually think on the spot to do that. I really can't recommend it enough.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And now to a word from our sponsor. And this, of course, is the School Marketing Institute, which brings us the SMC podcast each week. Now, if you're looking to clarify your strategy, powerfully articulate your messaging and integrate it all with a suite of industrial strength digital tools, then it is the time to get a personal introduction to Image 7's School Marketing Institute. School Marketing Institute is a membership platform that helps school heads and marketers to get their marketing under control, make it measurable, and to achieve your goals. Each membership comes with a regular mentoring session with one of Image 7's team of professional school marketers, and you can find out more by visiting image7.com.au/SMI. Now, new memberships are limited to one a week, so if it sounds like you'd benefit, visit image7.com.au/SMI and book your introduction, and you'll get to talk to Captain Morris Knife Nose.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And as has become our habit, each episode of SMC, we pick a lowly deck swab to walk the plank. And this time it be John's turn.
Yeah, long John Silver. He's going to hobble, the cabin boy. No, whatever he is, he's a victim. But John, great to have you here, by the way. And we are going to talk about something that's just actually made the news. One particular school, we don't need to go there as to which it was. There was an unfortunate situation when an email went out to the community and there was one letter missing in the URL and it went straight to an adult site rather than a school-related one. Disaster. The world and his wife went direct through this link to what something they shouldn't have gone to. Now, they cleaned up the mess, but of course it's a problem. It's your worst nightmare. Busy life in school marketing. And John here, digital marketing legend that he is going to just discuss with me what you do. Ideally, it doesn't happen, but if it does happen, how you can be ready for it and deal with it. So, John, hello. What sort of areas can you look for? It's not just emails, of course. What areas can you look for when things go horribly wrong?
Hi, guys. Probably not going to speak like a pirate for this interview, and my pirate voice is terrible. I'll leave that to you two. You've got it down.
I'm disappointed in ye.
All right. That was just Irish. Anyway, what are the areas we need to look out for? Yeah, so as you just mentioned, Andrew, there's emails, but other areas like websites, sometimes publications, you can get the wrong word, leave a little character out that can spell something else, or social media is also another classic one. And also sometimes speech writing if you're going to be doing a speech in front of a large audience.
So pretty much any bit of content at all that you may be involved with. So that's a little worrying.
Live in fear.
So we now know it covers every part of the marketer's scope. How do we actually avoid this kind of problem?
Yeah, that's the question. So the really important thing is to make strict procedures and checklists and stick to them. For a good example that I thought I'd throw in there, for our e-newsletter we put out once a week, SMC, get onto it if you haven't already. What happens is I create that e-newsletter and then I send it off for proofing to another member of our team. And then she sends it back with any changes she might have. And then I send it finally to Scully, who gives the final go ahead. And that happens every week like clockwork. And it means that we pick up any mistakes that have been made.
Except that we're not calling him Scully this episode. He's Captain Morris Knife Nose.
Knife Nose. That's me, apparently, allegedly. Yeah, now, but I click on every link. Every one of those newsletters out there, I'm sad enough to click on every link to make sure that it actually goes to where it's supposed to.
And I'm seriously glad to hear that, guys.
You know, we can't take shortcuts, otherwise heaven only knows. But it's easy to, in your busy working day, to just assume things will be okay. Well, guess what? We need to check. So let's presume we think we've done everything correctly. Someone somewhere may not have done, and there is a problem. What do we do if something actually does go wrong?
Yes, so we are all humans, so we do all make mistakes. So the first thing is to own up. You want to be completely transparent with what's happened and completely open and honest with your audience and your readers or whoever it may be, and then act quickly. So you want to make sure that whatever you do, you are doing it quickly and efficiently and properly. Make sure you don't make any more mistakes in that time, but acting quickly is definitely going to be your friend in this situation.
Okay, yes. Speed is of the essence. And honesty. Look, you're working in a school. Integrity, honesty is the best way forward. And much as we'd love to hide behind, it wasn't me, it was him or her over there. You know what? It's the wrong way to do it. So thank you, John. Thanks for your pearls of wisdom. And yeah, let's hope it never does happen to you. The best way, of course, is to stop it by double, triple checking everything. But if it does, stand up, be counted, and own up.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Enjoy the rest of Pirate Day.
Arr!
Arr! This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And after that little bit of frivolity, it's time for a marketing example. And Scully has gone full swing of the pendulum now. No longer are we getting beer marketing examples, but we're going straight to the West Australian Police. Scully, explain yourself.
This is before I knew it was Pirate Day, who hate the police. Pirates hate the police. But anyway, I do not hate this website. It's a clever one. It's really all about appealing to the next generation. So have a look at the link. I really do urge you to. It's appealing really to try and get students. Yep, that's your school students to think about a career in the police. Now that might be a difficult challenge for some, but the way it's speaking to that key generation that some of us we're wanting to actually enroll in our own schools, but they're the parents of the next generation too. That it's a really clever site. It's easy to follow. It's intuitive. Great use of bright color. The calls to action are fantastic. It's so easy to just click away, follow your nose. Really visually engaging. It's got
built for mobile.
Yeah, it's built for mobile. It's got games on there. Really simple language. It's even got a quiz. Enough to entice you to think, gosh, I want to be a policeman. I'll never be. They'll rather hang me from the mainsail before they begin. But no, very good. Have a look. And I think we can all learn a bit about a really interactive website that's truly engaging. So you could learn from it. I love it.
So that URL is wapolicenextstep, all as one word, .com.au. wapolicenextstep.com.au. Have a look at it. It's well worth it.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And so to rants and rave times, and this is where one of us will normally give out a bouquet or a brickbat to something usually found online. And this one comes from the founder of Analog Folk, Matt Dyke, and for the founder of Analog Folk, he's talking about AI. What this is yours, Scully. So, I mean, I got to say, I thought, yep, I can see it, but I'm not convinced whether you're ranting or raving.
Yeah, well, I'll end up with a rave because it's a couple of good points. But I'm going to start with a rant because I'm sick of bots. I'm sick of people writing about bots. Didn't even know what a bot was until not long ago. I'm sick of bots and I'm sick of AI and then quotes from Professor Stephen Hawking, who's may never have heard of marketing automation. saying that the world is going to be transformed. Everything's doom and gloom because none of us are going to have jobs and we all need to watch out. So there's a bit of that bandwagon, which is, you know, much spoken about. However, moving on from my initial rant about a already over-discussed topic, it feels, I do like how the writer has broken it into different types of artificial intelligence and making out this is not just, and we're all marketers are falling foul increasingly of looking at one chat bot and going, that's my artificial intelligence, that's the marketing automation stuff I'm going to be involved in, when in fact it's all about integrating these different types of artificial intelligence to do what you want. So the wise words then come from, make sure you know what it is you want to achieve. Put your objectives first. Yep, same as in every marketing, put your objectives first and then work out what it is you want to achieve. And that's how you can look at the different sort of pods. He bundles them into five different types of pods, gathering data pools, development platforms, AI services, decisioning, and human interface as these different areas which touch on different areas of artificial intelligence. Really interesting article. And there's a whole load of stuff out there that we'll never need in schools, but there are some that can just make your life so much better. So, you know, we do already know Facebook and Google, but there are different areas that can help you with media, analytics, all sorts of marketing automation. Apps is another example. Good article, but it's already been done to death, that topic. What do you reckon?
Yay, verily. I think that's King James' version of a pirate.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And that almost brings us to the end of episode 115 of SMC. Now, if you're listening from the Image 7 website, like every good pirate does, you can pop over now to your favourite podcast player, because every pirate has to have his iPod, and you can select your fortnightly dose of school marketing and communications goodness. Search for SMC, School Marketing and Communications. You'll find us there in the podcast sections. Now, if you've got any questions, comments, marketing examples, or a rant or rave of your own, don't send it to us. We'll make you walk the plank. No, really, you can send it to us on email, smc@image7.com.au. And that is it for this episode of SMC. From Captain Morris Knife Nose.
Arr.
And myself, Pirate Sam the Cash Trapped. Bye for now.
Bye.